Boom. Throw to Carry On Wayward Son, four pairs of glasses, Sam's dead.
It's a wrap.
I'm in a real identity crisis here, Al.
Nothing penetrates with you, Dawson.
Who do you see in the mirror?
Hey!
Oh, grey, hot.
Hello and welcome to the Incomplete Series. This is the podcast where we watch the first episode and the last episode of a television series and just recommend to you if it's worth watching. I'm pivoting from my original, what I would say normally. Jez, do you have any thoughts about my pivot there?
Yeah, I mean, are you going to tell us that we've changed
the tact?
Prerogative no. of the show? Like, I think like I need to kind of reconcile this change in tact.
Well, you might have known, but you weren't here last episode because you were working on that big case back at the law firm. So
yeah.
And at the law factory
stuff going.
Yeah, back at the law factory.
It'll hit the news soon, and it's going to shock the world.
Looking forward to it, Aaron. How are you? You're also
good.
Here.
I like this changing tact, recommending things. It's more official. It's giving us the formal credit we deserve.
Yeah, well, I feel like the speculation has gone completely out the window. That was probably more of a first five or six episode thing, and now it's
still
done.
Speculate
a little bit. And lastly, Scott, you're also here. How are you?
I am also here. I'm very well, thank you. I think we're sort of slowly pivoting to when people used to ask if we were a review show. I would say no, we're not a review show.
Come on, Chin.
But no, well, honestly, after 76 episodes, we're kind of a bit of a review show.
We're a review show. We are completely a review show, just in a very limited format.
Who was that person? Because they had their head screwed on properly.
They did.
Well, we could do it in a tight 20 seconds or something. How many stars? I would say 3.5.
Nah.
Yeah, 3.5 is about right.
Yeah,
3.5.
Just cool.
Easing to a 3?
Just everything, you know?
No more context, no more content, just...
Yeah, it doesn't matter what show, I'll just give it a 3.5.
Star rating. Cool, you know? we can start bashing these out real quick. We can probably do...
On the fence, know, like but episodes, slightly yeah, on the positive side of the fence. No one's disappointed with a 3.5, you know? People can convince themselves that that's a good review if they're emotionally invested in whatever it is that I'm reviewing. And is people that also disliked it could convince themselves that I'm picking some flaws out, you know?
So you're the review portion of this podcast. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, when I run my, critiquing 101 seminars at esteemed universities across the globe, that's how I always sort of pitch the critiquing game, is just start with a 3.5, and then once you get comfortable in the 3.5 space, you know, and then you can start doling out 4s and 3s.
Yeah,
and then when you're feeling nice and confident, you can get the 4.5s and the 2.5s coming out. But only the most expert critics can go from a 2 to a 5, you know.
Yeah. I can see why you're running a seminar.
Yeah, and I enjoy in your seminars, Jez, that all of your examples for what to critique are just episodes of this podcast where you're critiquing Morgan's introduction.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a critic. Everyone's a critic, as they say.
That's true.
And you could be too if you come. Jeremy Wiseman's Critiquing 101 Seminars.
This does explain why you keep inviting me to all these seminars.
Guest of honor. You know, not a lot of attendance, and I would be really grateful if...
If you got invited to a university.
It's only 5,000 seminars.
Yeah. Hey, that's a bargain for some people. Like,
if you specify
some lecturers will charge more than that, that have more real content, I assume.
I didn't specify the currency.
No, true.
You take 5,000 of anything.
Whatever you got, 5,000 of them.
Now, before we continue down this pathway or get too far into the show we're looking at this episode, I do want to go back to Baywatch, which was a couple episodes back now. We talked about the finale there we did the Hasselhoff years, how, you know, David Hasselhoff left, and then a couple of years after the show ended, David Hasselhoff was in the movie Hawaiian Wedding. I decided I would find out what happened, really. How did they address return of David Hasselhoff, Mitch Buchanan, back to the show? Now,
after he was after the cliffhanger.
Of him presumed dead or missing, they left it ambiguous just to keep the door open for the Hoff in case they ever wanted to bring him back. I said that they wouldn't address it, that they would just bring him back in and just not say a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, Jez, you said that they would go down the amnesia route, and I think, Scott, you were in the same camp.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron, I'm going to give you... Where do you think they went with it? How do you think they addressed the return of Hasselhoff?
I'm with you, Morgs. I don't reckon they addressed it. straight back in.
Now, I wish they did it that way, but no, they gave us credit and they went down the amnesia route. So it is revealed that Mitch Buchanan only had amnesia and was recovering in a Los Angeles hospital, and he's now retired. So, bing, bang, boom.
There's only a couple ways you can do this storyline.
He went missing off the boat, right?
Yep, in Hawaii. And then he somehow floated
in
to
open,
LA.
In open
water.
Yeah,
I really hoped he floated across the Pacific and the Pacific wound up back in California.
In the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Hawaii is so far away from any other body of land.
This is why I think they should have just not addressed it. Like giving the amnesia route just poses way too many questions.
If amnesia didn't exist as a concept, like so many mediocre TV show writers would just be...
out of the job.
Like, hey, excuse the pun, but out to sea. They'd just be at a loss when there's something they can't explain. Mm-hmm. Unless they just go with a wizard did it. But
I prefer that world. If all mediocre TV was amnesia was replaced with wizardry, we'd be better off.
I feel like that now you're more likely to get the wizardry or magic than you are amnesia. I feel like
Game of Thrones effect. Yeah,
yeah. It's just amnesia is just too much of an easy out for them to go down now. But then I don't watch. I mean, soap opera is. I'm sure it's a soap opera thing still.
It's one of those things that you just come across so much on TV when you're growing up that you assume is going to be far more of an issue in your adult life.
Yeah, for sure.
I just figured that at some point everyone gets amnesia. You know.
Or you know someone that has amnesia.
Like you trip over when you're just walking down the street, crack your head on the sidewalk, amnesia. You know?
There goes the last 2 years.
Next thing you know, you wake up on a yacht with Adam Sandler every day for the rest of your life.
Yeah, I've forgotten that seminar I just paid 5,000 baht for.
5,000 for. Did you say baht?
Baht. Yeah, that's what I went with.
All right, well, I'll take it. It's better than some guy paid me in 5,000 cotton buds.
Now, well, we could discuss Baywatch. Hey, let's not. You said 5,000 or something. I just gave you what I had.
I flipped them.
We could talk about Baywatch all episode, but we're not here to talk about Baywatch. We're here to talk about Supernatural. Now, I like this show, so let's be really careful about how we talk about it. I don't want I like this show. I watched a bit of this show. I think we've all come into a show that we've watched all of or most of. I know Aaron, you had The OC. Scott, I think there's like three or four that I think you've
had. I watched all of Alias.
Oh, I watched all of Alias.
Oh,
there
that's
you go.
Right.
Jez, I don't think you've experienced this phenomena yet, where we...
Jez has never finished a television show in his life.
Lots of what of Home Improvement.
I don't know whether that counts. To be honest,
I'm a real DIY head.
I just want to point out how much I enjoy Supernatural. That I actually managed to dig up the DVDs of Supernatural that I owned.
Oh my god!
Give us a find season three.
What do you got there?
I had seasons 1 to 5. So I was also trying to work out where I stopped watching, and I think it was around season 5, to be honest, because I've got the DVD. So maybe I might have gone a little bit further along. But it doesn't just stop there. It does not just stop there. No, it does not. I have literature.
What?
Supernatural Monster Guidebook.
Oh, man.
Wow, Morgs.
Do you think that's impressive?
I do.
I got John Winchester's journal. I got
shit.
I got literature.
Is that the dad's journal in the first episode?
That is the...
Can you just give us a little flick through, just see what's in there?
And the last episode.
Is it just, are there little pictures or something? Or
no, it's just like, well, I think there's little pictures, yeah. It's little stuff. And it's got up to the pilot where, you know, the shit that goes down in the pilot and they find their dad's journal. It's got up to there. That's where it ends.
Is it Jeffrey Dean Morgan?
He has a picture of himself on the journal, just like the TV show.
Naturally.
How else would he know it's his?
I have read it. I read it when I got it. I don't know when I bought it. I reckon it was, I don't know, whenever the show was popular.
The show finished in 2020, so in order to have the complete journal, because they talk about that journal in the final episode. So I imagine you got it at some point in the last 12 months.
Yes, I did. You know, I need to keep up to date with all the monsters and Supernatural.
Yeah, exactly. That is outstanding.
Yes, so I have actual literature, so I am the authority on this show.
You're all in.
Up until about season 6 or 7, I think. I didn't realize This went for... I didn't realize this finished last year.
Oh, my God.
So, 2020, which is crazy. It's crazy.
It is absolutely incredible. Seasons. This is like the longest show we've done, right? Longest running show.
I believe it is. Yeah,
I reckon.
Yeah,
it must be. Yeah. By like a bit. By like a third. By 30% or something.
Not only that, it a show that has had... I mean, I guess it only has two main casts, but they are in it from... start to finish. There's no one's really introduced. Yeah. I mean, that's the one thing about this show is that they never really... outside of Sam and Dean, there's like... You look at the cast list, there's guys that are in 100...
What about Jeffrey Dean Morgan? Is he...
He actually dies in like season 4, I think. Okay. Or like season 2
Because I reckon I've seen the first early. 2 seasons.
Yeah.
Because of your influence.
He's a central figure, but he's not actually in it that much.
Mm. The one thing that did strike me though, just looking at it, he is way too young to be the father of...
I was just about to say. He's 12 years older than Jensen Ackles.
Yeah,
so
I did look that up. It's 12 years. 12-year age gap.
Had him when he was 12. Mm. And then... He had Sam when he was 16.
Yeah. I feel like they could have just aged him up a little bit.
A little more.
Just get an older actor. You know?
Yeah, out there. Get an older actor. You can age him down. There. Like, color their hair. You know? Do something. But... not the greatest casting, I didn't think, but
you're like, wait, this guy's about 40 and his son's like 25. Are we gonna thrash this out? We're just gonna say Wizard did it.
It's ghosts.
It's the ghosts.
Now, before we get into the first episode, I got a Dean impression.
Oh yeah,
it's becoming nearly a regular thing.
Let's lay down the rules here.
Okay, what do you mean?
You can't say Sam.
Yep,
and you can't. Yep. You
why,
can maybe give like a Sammy.
Box me? This is bullshit. You can't box me out on things. I did.
We can all say Sammy Morgan.
Last episode.
Oh, did you do a Ray one last episode?
I did a Ray one. I had a really good Ray one.
And it was pretty good.
You'll hear it.
Oh, I can't wait.
But they set down rules for me. Like, I can't. Oh, you can't.
That's not fair. That's not fair.
It's bullshit. I can use whatever I want with the tools.
Everybody's got a little something they can do. I want to see what separates you from the pack.
Well, not much.
You can't do an Al Pacino impression based around his like tendency to yell his lines.
Yeah, that's all you can do with Al Pacino. You can't just take that away. Then you're just taking away.
I think it's a common thing of doing an impression of someone is that yelling is generally a factor. Like, I feel like yelling is going to come into your impression of Dean.
But that's when you get the heightened state of their personality. You know,
exactly.
That's the most.
Now, I want to hear them say something that they never have said or never would say.
Okay. Well,
you know, be unrecognizable.
Give me Dean. On the phone to the bank.
Okay.
And he's contesting a charge on his credit card.
Okay. Let me see if I can do that.
Because that's when you know you've made it as an impressionist. You've got to be able to do them.
Yep.
Like, we should just be able to throw situations at you. And you should be able to do
it. Okay. I reckon I can do that. Okay.
Look at my eyes, you son of a bitch. That is not a card. That is not a charge on my credit card.
Sir, I can't see you. We're talking on the phone.
Yeah, son of a bitch.
The vampire stole my credit card.
I'll pay it.
Here we go. There's your order.
That's something
impression.
I do.
You did it, Moggs. Finally.
Actually,
got
that's
it.
Not fair because a big part of the pilot is the credit card stealing.
That's
a free hit. You lay down the law.
Yeah, that's a free hit. That's canon Dean.
Oh, that's bullshit. Scott, now you have to find in the show at some point when Dean is contesting a credit card charge.
I mean, surely it happens.
Against what I did.
Oh, surely possibly. It happens.
I don't know.
I mean,
at least 15 seasons. You've now got to go through the next 327 episodes.
Or season 9 to 11 is just Dean doing running errands.
It's just credit fraud.
Taking his shit. You must have seen him take a shit at some point in 15 seasons. They've got that much time. Like,
a lot of content. Everyone
takes a shit at some point.
Anyway, should we crack on into the pilot? And then we can... Maybe in the last season we can talk about if there's any shit footage.
2005 Supernatural opens with a soon-to-be traumatized family unit, Mary and John Winchester and their two sons, Sam and Dean. Within the first 5 minutes, though, Mary is bursting into flames on the ceiling of the bedroom while the rest of the family hightail it out of there. 22 years later, and Sam is about to interview with a big law firm when Dean pops back into his life.
Man, Dean, we were raised like warriors.
So what are you going to do? You're just going to live some normal apple pie life? Is that it?
No, not normal. Same.
Their dad has disappeared on a hunt, i.e. ghost hunting, and Dean wants Sam to help find him. So Sam tells his girlfriend he'll be back before the interview and heads out. The two rekindle their relationship through hunting a woman-in-white demon who preys on adulterers whilst doing some damage to Dean's prized 1967 Chevy Impala, but repairing their friendship. However, in a Freudian twist, when Sam returns, his girlfriend meets the same fate as his mother, destined to burn on the ceiling and presumably be trapped in hell for eternity.
We got work to do.
That opening sequence is like that pulls you right in. Like,
The visual effects. This is 2005, right?
Yeah.
The visual effects are pretty interesting, I gotta say.
Well, Wikipedia is telling me that they made a papier-mâché replica of the mum and burned it on a roof. So it's practical. Yeah.
Practical is best.
I've dabbled in papier-mâché.
And I'll tell you what, it does not look. I mean, you're in the biz, Scott.
I'm in the biz.
Look like a human woman, often.
didn't look good.
I've put some paper and clag around a balloon before.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you?
It was scary, but not in that way.
When you say papier mâché like that, it kind of sounds like Javier Bardem. Same amount of syllables, Scott, you know.
That's true.
He's saying, Scott, that Supernatural probably had deeper pockets than you had on your production with papier-mâché.
Papier-mâché.
Is that what... when did you...
I think so.
...put your beak in the papier-mâché world?
It's papier-mâché.
Papier-mâché.
We're slowly getting closer to Javier Bardem.
I'm not putting enough... I'm putting the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Yeah. I still think we are getting it we're probably focusing on the wrong aspect of this.
But no, so just to close this off, I think that was like, if I was a horror movie writer around that time and I saw this episode, I'd be like, fuck, why didn't I think of that? That's really cool. Like, have the woman like pinned to the ceiling as some sort of possession type incident, and then being engulfed by the flames. Usually it's people getting sucked downwards. I thought it was really effective.
Yeah, it's good.
Surely with that sort of horror stuff, you kind of take like a couple of elements from different things and put them together. Like the whole sort of engulfed in flames thing. I mean, I don't know where that really comes from, but it's like big in like Sam Raimi sort of stuff. And then the being on the ceiling thing is really like Exorcist.
With the
shit.
The blood drops coming down. Yeah, I thought, like, that's... If you were a bit of a horror movie buff, you would have been stoked with the first episode.
Mm. Mm.
And then the rest is a bit, you know, pain by numbers kind of...
Yeah, sort of creepy...
Solving a mystery.
...woman but killing men.
That one motif
is
really... I remembered nothing else from Supernatural except her being stuck to the ceiling with all the flames around her.
Mm. Mm. It's a very good shot. Like, it's really... Yeah. They really... They really do something interesting with it.
They dip their toe back into it.
Mm, they do. I'm sure it happens multiple times.
I was about to say, do you reckon every single episode in the first season is just...
They keep getting stuck to a roof, catching on fire.
Stuck to the roof on fire. And the poor papier-mâché department, it just...
They run out of time.
Baby, all I can smell is clay glue. Haven't been home in weeks. It's too much.
What?
They're gonna strike.
I'm thinking they probably just made a ton of them at the start, so they had to just get burn through because they thought the shot would be really difficult, so they made heaps.
And then
they got it in first. They're like, oh well, we got like 40 of these things, so let's just keep rolling through.
If we get through 15 seasons,
yeah, that's when they got to the end of the 5 seasons. They're like, fuck, we've got like 27 left. We're going to have
it's cheaper to keep making more episodes of Supernatural than the cost it is to get rid of all that waste.
Just write them off.
The fat
newspaper and clag glue.
moving ahead, what you just referred to, the other sort of the secondary mystery, which is like the woman in white on the road. This first episode's more about developing the relationship of Sam and Dean and understanding the family dynamic with them. Than it is about that, which is fine, because that first story, like, it's not the most interesting kind of first monster of the week they engaged, because it's kind of The thing is, what strikes me is like when the guy in that first scene when you discover the woman in white standing there, and old mate pulls over. Oh, I gotta go, and he pulls over and then grabs this woman.
Car trouble or something?
Take me home.
Sure, get in.
I don't know about you guys. Have you ever driven past something creepy along the side of the road at night, and you ever think, I'm not gonna stop.
No,
you're not stopping. Just keep going. No, you just keep rolling. Like,
especially when he's just. The thing that annoyed me the most about that was he just got off the phone to his girlfriend where he turned her down. She was like, come over. He's like, nah, I can't. I got to work in the morning. Mm. And then some creepy woman on the side of the road is like, do you want to come home with me?
Yeah, like a tattered old dress, bare feet, like middle of the woods, basically.
And
yeah.
Flickering. Like it shows her flickering.
Yeah, she shows her flickering. Yeah. She's not even solid.
I was like, I might get some action here, so let's go for it.
I don't know about you, but when I'm looking, I want them to be solid.
Yeah,
at least
if you flicker, that's a priority. If you flicker, that's a deal breaker. That's a red flag.
That's more of like only two dimensional things flicker, right? Like it's a hologrammy thing. I want three dimensions.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't
minimum.
Yeah,
call me traditional, but I want shoes.
Yeah. Maybe we're being picky. You know, we're being picky that we want
maybe
non. What's the
non-murderous.
Non-ethereal women. I want non-ethereal women. That's my...
Stick purely in the corporeal realm.
What can I say? I'm old school. But it's far from the most interesting mystery, and they sort of... I don't know. But it's kind of... But, like, at least gives you a little bit of a taste of... Like, because they've got to go... You know,
dip in
it's
the
all
toe
small...
In.
Small town mystery. They go through all the old newspapers and, you know, discover... Yeah, so it's pretty simple, but it's good. And you just... You get a taste for everything, like their credit card, your credit card fraud, impersonating.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah,
because they want to address their source of income early in the show. But how does this work? What, they just keep applying for credit cards under people's names, people's names, and then they get given credit cards, and then they just use them up.
Normally, 80s rock stars,
mm-hmm. and they're just none of these banks are. Asking for ID?
Apparently not.
I feel like they could have had another sort of explanation for how they're able to fund.
Yeah, just like a rich, relative somewhere or something.
Well, they
pick up odd jobs along the way.
Yeah. I'm assuming in these sort of ghost hunting expeditions,
grave robbing?
They're finding grave robbing. They're finding relics that they can, pull off.
Bit of Indiana Jones in there.
I like the idea of selling, grave robbing and selling old relics. That's good income. Mm. I'm not too critical of how they approach that. I guess it's because it's like it's a minor aspect, and they're just sort of covering off a loose end by saying, oh, yeah, they're stealing credit cards. They're doing, it's a simple way of like it's probably a little bit better than I know Scott. Yeah, rich. Rich benefactor kind of works. Mm. But
a wizard,
probably,
a wizard
this,
did
this
it.
Looks a little bunch of.
I think it's
a wizard did it.
If we've learned anything, I think it's that wizards need to play more of a role.
Benefactor with amnesia or wizard?
I mean, they could have saved this stuff for the admin seasons later on.
Yeah.
Really ironed it out.
12 to 14 is when they really sort of.
Yeah, get the cliffhanger where Will Dean balances books.
It's just them filling out paper applications for credit cards.
Yeah.
For like six episodes in a row. That's for the real Supernatural heads.
Now, obviously, a key figure is the car. That's pretty iconic. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Not very subtle, though.
Nope.
They're impersonating US Marshals.
It's quite conspicuous.
Yeah.
That's what always bothers me.
They're rocking up to a whole lot of crime scenes, mysterious, unsolved murders. In this loud as shit, incredibly well kept 1964 Impala. That's going to stick out.
Is this sort of similar to your Reno Reigns?
Yeah.
Do you reckon there's a scene with them in a hotel room with the car?
The car's in,
absolutely.
In the room.
100%. Soon he's leaving the Impala out in the street.
No chance.
Dismantles it piece by piece every night.
That is something that really does bother me. It's just like, I know it's a cool car, but maybe get like one of those like really standard police cruiser cars that just in like a plain brown or white or
just
whatever.
Like a,
know,
just like, 10, like 10 years Toyota old. Camry or something.
Yeah.
Something real run of the mill. You can still deck it out or get like an SUV. That's probably really good, like a four wheel drive because you can fit more
in there. Fit some stuff. Fit so many credit cards in the back of that.
Exactly, a lot of credit cards.
there is a scene towards the end with the woman in white where, in order to get her back into the house where her evil spirits lie or whatever, Sam just drives the car straight through the wall of the house. The Impala is not the thing to do that with.
No. No. Like, probably like one of 20 in existence that are in pristine condition.
Yeah. The car's like 40 years old.
Yeah.
It's a 60s car, and those things were just made of pure steel. There's no bending those things. That's just going to go straight through the wall.
Scratch the shit out of it. It's probably worth, you know, a couple of hundred grand. Sell that. You don't need to...
One of our friends had an Impala. He had that car. Yeah.
He did.
Who?
Chris.
Talk of the town.
One. Did he?
Yeah.
And that was very much awesome. Supernatural inspired, right?
For how long?
Yeah.
A good 5 years.
Did it? Was it?
It was awesome.
Yeah, it was in good nick.
And
he was very conspicuous the whole time.
And it would have been an absolute drain on the bank account.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Expensive to run.
It's probably only paying it off now, like 8 years later.
Well, speaking of bank account, like, I want to know, like, how much money do you think they... Because, like, they're getting up to some pretty nefarious shit. They get into some tight situations. This car is probably going to see more action than most. Like, you're going to want really great insurance, and your premium's going to be out the fucking wazoo. Because this car's probably getting busted up every second episode.
And only Shannon's or one of the classic car insurers would insure it. You can't go to Amy, you know.
They're going to laugh you out.
You'd need those like club permit plates.
Yeah, but those sort of stuff. That insurance is good if you're driving about 1,000 km a year.
Yeah, just the car shows.
Like 3 day drives across the US, like they every week.
Three houses.
Yeah.
And those things they're not notorious for, they're not known for efficiency on fuel.
No need to forge all those checks. Guess that's why it was sponsored by Shannon's.
Yeah, if they had a Prius, you know, would they have got 15 seasons out of it?
It's not good. The Prius isn't cool enough, doesn't it? Like,
what if it's a black Prius?
Why do you
and
think
then
the
Sam? Because Sam doesn't really do anything in the car. Dean's always driving. Sam just kind of leans out the window and goes.
I want to see how like pathetic we can get the vehicle that they operate. Like, are they just on a Vespa?
Well, one of those like old timey rail things where it's like you're pumping it up and down, one guy on each end.
Jeep on fuel.
Jump on the back of my Razor scooter.
Just Dean and Lennon.
But then we've gone so far down the conspicuous scale that it comes back around to being a conspicuous.
Yeah, that's true.
Because it's like, if two guys rock up at a Camry, that's fine. But if they're, especially if they've got to take the rail thing off the train tracks and really like grind it through the bitumen.
Well, then maybe what they could do is
that's
they just
stand
have
out,
to get
right.
They just have to Uber everywhere. They take the train track thing, get off, just big heavy duffel bags, and then just Uber to their sites.
Mm.
It'd be inconvenient, but it'd be workable.
Or and a Vespa, way, like two guys jumping off, like a bright red Vespa.
A Vespa with a sidecar?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like that.
now we're cooking with gas.
Now we're talking. Yeah. Sam would be in the sidecar, wouldn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course.
No question.
Even though Sam's significantly taller than Dean,
yes,
he hasn't got the gravitas.
No,
you're not doing a Sam impression, are you, Morgs? You're doing a Dean.
I don't
impression.
Have one.
Yeah, no one does.
Sam's not memorable enough.
We don't have that. Scott's the only one close to having the requisite amount of hair.
True. I'll tell you what. I'm gonna get to that hair later. We're gonna talk about that when it comes to the last episode.
It's doing stuff in the last episode.
Oh yeah.
It's hanging on to it.
All right. So, a few things I wanted to quickly mention. One, when the boys, the brothers, are in the car and Sam's criticizing Dean's music taste.
Black Sabbath? Motorhead? Metallica?
Grabs the Metallica cassette out of Sam's hands, puts it in, then Back in Black by AC/DC starts playing.
Sorry, I can't hear you. The music's too loud.
Yeah, why not say AC/DC? Maybe AC/DC.
Just say AC/DC. I'll play some Metallica.
Can AC/DC ban you from saying AC/DC in a TV show?
Maybe.
Because it's also like, you know, got electrical implications.
It does. It is the implication.
Well, the classification board's like, you cannot say it.
People will freak out.
They'll freak out. They're not going to know what to do. They're going to start jamming forks in power outlets.
I want to know what's Sam's taste, you know? What's he?
Yeah,
I'm keen to know that as well.
Was it 2005? Like some...
The annual.
Some Good Charlotte.
I think it'd be... Who did the annual? Ministry of Sound.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
He strikes me as like guys that's not into music at all. Just like a non-music
just
guy.
Just weird. Like, prefer those 12 hours drives in dead silence.
He'd just be listening to lectures. Like, he's a real dweeb, Sam, in episode one.
But podcasts were such a foreign concept in 2005. He would have been an early adopter.
Yeah.
Maybe talkback radio.
Maybe some NPR.
Bit of Neil Mitchell.
Yeah, talkback radio global, from Australia.
Yeah. Global reach.
He strikes me as the kind of guy that maybe doesn't have an inner monologue.
When someone's talking to him, it's just...
Exactly. Tumbleweed going through. He's waiting.
I'm picturing like that senator from Parks and Rec. You guys ever seen Parks and Rec in like season 6? And there's like a senator, like he's really good in front of camera, but then he just like, he goes and sits in his office and just sits there and smiles, just stares into space.
So Ronald Reagan.
Nothing. Just his once, he's out of
out of the zone.
They just program NPC what he vibes. Pretty much, NPC vibes. That's what I'm going for.
I was thinking like, because we were thinking about like what different vehicles could, you know, supplant the car. Like what is the most inappropriate type of music? If it wasn't like, because this show is known for the kind of 80s metal, hard rock, glam rock sort of music. So what's the most inappropriate type of music?
It's a pumpy rail car. And they've got a stereo system attached, and it's playing like Euro house from
this,
like the 90s.
This is exactly what I was thinking, like Europop from like the early 2000s. Maybe some like Rammstein remixes, if you're lucky.
Something with like a really good beat to sort of get them in pumping the...
And they've got to have the ebb and flow. You've got to have your wind down time.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then work up to some fucking bursts. They fly towards the crime scene.
There was definitely a Ministry of Sound, like Sunday Chills or Recovery CD that they would listen to after a hunt when they're, you know. Yeah. I have no idea what would be on there, but you know what I mean. You know what I'm alluding to.
The last thing I wanted to mention was one of those nighttime scenes when Sam and Dean were on the bridge and the woman in white takes control of the car because this is the bridge that she committed suicide from years earlier. So she's in the car driving towards them. They're running down the bridge trying to bail out. And as they get just further enough across the river so they can jump onto the bank. Did you guys notice that Sam's stunt guy does like a nice little sort of hop over the barrier, very smooth. But fucking Dean's guy does this ridiculous like half forward front flip where he clears the barrier by a meter and then he's like tipping forward. So he would have landed this like 15 meter drop onto a riverbank back first. It is insane. It's like got a little springboard as it goes just
ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
Do you think that's why then after that exact scene when they're over, Sam's hanging onto the railing, but then Dean fell in the river? That wasn't written in. They were probably both originally supposed to
shoot. Yeah.
But they lost the stunt guy, so in his honour, they made Dean fall out of the river because he died in the process of the stunt.
He absolutely would have died doing that. It's insane.
I didn't notice that. I just remember Dean in the river.
It's about you.
GG. Now I know I said that I had one last thing, but the one last thing and the one criticism I always had of this show the entire time I watched it, maybe should have said this later, is the guys are in incredible shape, they look amazing, they're jacked, but all they do is eat roadside burgers, drink beers, sleep rough. They look $1 million.
You just throw a couple of scenes of them doing chin-ups or something.
At no point do we ever see that.
Just getting a good night rest.
But I think we've already covered this in the admin episodes season 13 to 12 to 14. It would just be just, six in a row of their workout routines.
Mm-hmm. And then just them and eating just chicken, sweet potato, and broccoli.
Dean just sort of shimmies. Dean just shimmies under the car and just fucking benches it.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense if they had the little rail cart, because you're doing like presses all day with that.
That's going to keep you in good shape.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, they do look significantly. One of them in particular, I'm not going to spoil who it is, but. They look particularly more haggard in the final episode. So why don't we make our way there?
The Supernatural finale begins with Sam and Dean living seemingly pretty normal lives. They're rooming together, being jacked and handsome, and still hunting things, saving lives, the family business.
You sure you're ready for this? Well, I don't have a choice. This is my destiny.
This time, there's a bunch of clown-faced cannibals kidnapping children that need dealing with. They find the nest and do some quick beheadings, but things go wrong in the scuffle. Dean is impaled on a big rusty nail and dies. But before he goes, with his last breaths, he delivers a 5-minute monologue, giving Sam his blessings to go and live his life.
I'm so proud of you, Sam. You know that.
Dean awakes in heaven and gets to take his Impala for a spin. Meanwhile, Sam lives a full life, has a little baby Dean, grows old, and dies himself. Then, the Winchester Bros meet up in heaven to finally lay their weary heads to rest.
How did you know that the kid's name was Dean? Was it the fact that he was wearing overalls that said Dean on the front?
It was subtle, but I caught it.
Is that what it was? Was it overalls or was it a t-shirt?
Nice little Easter egg
there. It was overalls.
It was definitely denim.
Dean, come on.
Yeah, I thought we were maybe launching into like a montage of their lives. I thought that was actual Dean back when he was a little boy.
I did as well for a second, and then until Sam picked him up, and I'm like, I didn't realize there was such an age gap between the two of them. Oh wait,
especially when Dean's meant to be older.
Or maybe Dean's just like he's like Deadpool. So when he like,
I want to ask you guys a question, because like these guys get up to some pretty ludicrous stuff. And like pretty exciting, but you know what's not exciting? Having the exact same haircut your whole life.
Yeah. Are you referring to Dean or Sam?
I'm talking about Sam.
Yeah, because he's struggling to keep it going in the later episodes.
Like, it's not going well.
There's a lot of hairspray
by the time he's 40, 50.
Yeah.
A lot of loose ends. It's not looking good.
No.
Yeah. Give someone else a go. We'll recognize him.
Yeah, actually, when he's dying in the hospital bed,
he's got the haircut, and his son's got the haircut.
He's still got the haircut. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So when they
it's a Winchester family tradition.
His son's probably like 25, 30. So it's maybe 30 years after Dean dies, and they've just really grayed up Jared Padalecki, give him gray scuffs, gray stubble, same gray haircut. Body on his deathbed.
It's ridiculous. When they get him at like maybe like 50-ish or something like that, where he's like just like raising his kid or whatever, or literally all they've done is put glasses on him. Yeah, like, that is it. maybe sprinkled some grey through the hair. They've done nothing to the face. He looks exactly the same.
See, you guys would think that Jeremy and I, well, Jeremy's older than me because of the glasses.
Mm.
We're the same age. You wouldn't know because of the glasses.
I thought Jeremy was your father.
You look like you could be my dad, but it's it's not true. It turns out Jeremy and I are the same age. The glasses is such an easy out to age someone up. Yep, glasses, boom, done. Yeah. It's 10 years.
A big tell if Morgan was my son, he'd be wearing overalls that said Morgan on the front.
Yeah, they're in the wash.
You'd raise him right.
Yeah, I raised him right.
can you get a set of those made up for my Bucks party, please?
Yeah, of course. Of course. You're implying that I don't have a set already that I wear myself. I don't know. I just like to pretend to be you sometimes.
When you wear them, do you wear anything else, or do you just wear the overalls?
Why would I wear anything else? They're overalls.
That's a good point.
It's got the overalls on.
They're not over something. Or over,
that was
over,
the question.
Over part of these. They're overalls.
So you wear them over a tuxedo.
Yeah, the birthday tuxedo.
Okay.
My natural skin tuxedo.
this finale. When I was watching it, I'm like, if you caught this, I know it's always hard with pilots, but if you caught this as the first episode you ever watch, it would not draw you in even remotely. It's pure fan service. But
it's not too bad though. They still chuck in a little monster of the week.
That almost takes away from it. Like, I almost wish that they didn't try and do it, because the Monster of the Week stuff is so silly in this context. Because, like, I mean, for a lot of reasons. One is just the excessive decapitation.
I was about to say, it's like, it's basically like MacGruber with the throat rips. How good Dean has got
it's ridiculous.
Sorry, I'm gonna squeeze a decapitation in here. I think it's gonna be you, big guy.
It's ridiculous. Is that the sort of character arc that we've come to over the 15 seasons? Yeah. They've perfected decapitations, and that is the only thing they can now do to defend themselves.
Yeah.
They come off so easy.
Machetes.
The first one, I was like, did I miss something? I've got to scroll back. He just flat out cut that guy's head clean off.
Also, like, I know they're bad guys,
and then
they
meet this, one of the vampires is a woman they've come across before, and they're having a quick, a little conversation with her.
So what, are you like the big boss or something?
No, I just called dibs.
And then bam! Heads off.
Head straight off.
Gone. I thought that Sam was going to just, when Dean got hit, he was like, all right. Darth Moogie's dog plays.
That's how he'd want to go.
I don't know if you guys had it as well. I got a recap of what had happened. When I started the episode, and it looks like they were fighting God.
Yeah.
In this last season.
Yeah. Oh, God was there. No, they were fighting someone else, I think, and God was also there, and it's just like a guy in a white denim jacket or something.
Oh no, I think they killed God, and that was Jesus, and now Jesus.
They're the same person.
I haven't watched all of this, the late season Supernatural, where they've gone.
You haven't seen the Bible?
Every single.
I saw the first couple of episodes.
He's read John Winchester's diary, not the Bible.
Can you imagine if someone
this is my Bible.
Forgot John Winchester.
If someone had the audacity to create a show called The Bible and just went through the Bible. Why has no one done this yet?
Good little anthology.
I feel like M. Night Shyamalan might do that at some point.
Maybe we should branch out, first non-TV show. We could read the first book of the Bible and the last book of the Bible. Recommend if it's worth
the Old Testament and see what happens.
The Old Testament and New Testament. That's the whole thing.
Just see what happens.
The first passage and the last passage. So I'm assuming that's John 1:1 and then Steve 380-242. Mm.
Is the New Testament a reboot of the Old Testament?
Yeah, surely.
Did they put Dwayne Johnson in it?
You know how we grew up with the Tobey Maguire Spider-Mans and now there's the new Spider-Mans? It's like that.
Yeah. Okay.
What about the Andrew Garfield ones? Where do they fit in?
We don't talk about the Andrew Garfield.
Religious analogy.
We don't talk about the Andrew Garfield.
They're not canon.
There's no Middle Testament?
There is, but they only ever translated into German and it's not good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they never address the Middle Testament Supernatural is what we're probably surmising. Old and new.
It's the Middle Testament's murky.
God
said some pretty fucked up shit that if you want to dig up those old testaments Middle Testament passages they're like racist tweets.
Is it like going back and reading 1970s Playboys and John Wayne's just getting racist as hell in there? Is it
yeah,
a bit like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah, mm. yeah.
Yeah, right.
Or like 2008 Twitter profiles of celebrities when no one really knew what Twitter was.
But yes, Morgan, going back to your original point about this previously on, it's incredibly expansive in scope, but completely inconsequential to this episode. None of it relates to it. So I don't know if there's a time jump or something. It was just this big story's done. Because it was kind of
That's reading the synopsis. That basically seems like what happened. So the second to last episode, they wrapped up the big storyline. And then the last episode was, like I said, just kind of a throwback fan service.
Yeah, it was forgot they needed to fill in one more episode.
Like a 5-minute scene half a budget. Based around a pie contest?
Yeah, yeah. And they had enough budget for half a Monster of the Week episode. So that went for 15 minutes. And then the last literally 8 minutes was Carrie on My Wayward Son. over with, a bunch of different
Sam
montages.
Aging by
Sam, it's Sam
driving his Impala
more and
through
more
heaven.
Pairs of glasses on him as like every 10 years, and they're wearing glasses.
Just less and less hairspray. Let the hair go limp.
Yeah, and then like 3 pairs of glasses by the end.
Boom, done. I didn't mind the Monster of the Week aspect as much, purely on the fact that how Dean, basically they kill Dean, but Dean dies and just essentially just a run of the mill.
I like that
every day.
I like that.
That's the one aspect I like, is that all the dangerous shit they've been doing the whole time, and this could have happened at any point, and that's how he goes down. Just ends up on a spike.
And it was kind of shocking. And then Sam carries on. Yeah. I'm like, hang on, is he just like, that's it? It's just
Dean's just dead.
Just in the throes of killing vampires, he got impaled and.
But this time around, rather than doing what they've done previously, where they go, you know, they can just revive each other to keep, you know, another 5 seasons going. They knew 15, they're done. He's just down and out. And then, yeah, as you said, Jez, boom, throw to Carry On Wayward Son, 4 pairs of glasses, Sam's dead.
It's a wrap. I do want to talk about Dean's time in heaven.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So he just drinks a mediocre beer with an old man that is completely inconsequential.
I was going to ask Morgan, how would you feel if you rocked up to heaven and they only had an esky full of warm soul beers?
Glad you fucking said that, because I would be livid. If I rock up to heaven and my mentor is there and he's like, ah, you made
it. So who is that guy?
Good to be here. It's Bobby. Bobby's like
Bobby Flay, like Super Chef Bobby Flay.
Bobby, it's like Iron Chef Bobby Flay. No, it's Bobby Singer. He's kind of like their dad's friend, Hunter friend, and he helps him out.
Non-biological uncle.
I'd be pretty pissed. Like, if I got there, my mentor goes, yeah, hey, here's a beer. Is this a supermarket brand beer? You just got me a home brand beer.
This? We're supposed to be in heaven.
This is what we're drinking? We're drinking Coronas?
Like
what?
Sunstruck Coronas.
Yeah. And it's look, there's not even esky in there. It's like it's bubble wrap to make it look like ice. This is warm.
But that was part
this
of it,
is,
right?
This
it
is me for eternity?
He was like, this beer's shit, but I like that it's shit because it reminds me of my first beer with my dad.
This tastes like the first drink I ever shared with my dad. Quality stuff? No, it's crap.
Maybe it is hell. I don't know. Maybe it's hell and he has to drink warm soul from Chat to Bobby all day.
It seems like hell and he just keeps driving and going nowhere. And Wayward Son is just on repeat.
You guys and he's going to end up hating
really like that
the
song
that he loves the most.
Exactly. And he's like, yeah, let's see what else I've got here. And it's just, he opens the drawer and it's just
my God.
Every single take is just Wayward Son, Wayward Son, Wayward Son.
All right, cool. So tying up the finale, let's see if we can reboot this and turn this into something a little more interesting.
I don't know about more interesting, but
yeah,
something.
It's a lie. It was already good.
I was thinking the angle of maybe getting some other brothers in there.
Oh.
Mix it up. Get Sam and Dean out. And the first thing my mind went to, of course, was our most recent episode of this podcast, Everybody Loves Raymond. So replacing Sam and Dean with Ray and Robert Barone, who are just going to be driving around Long Island, hunting things, saving their
lives.
For the family
Frank,
business.
Frank Barone's gone missing.
Yeah, so the first episode is obviously Marie impaled on the roof, getting posted. Then cut years in the future, Frank Barone goes on a hunting trip, and Robert has to come find Ray, who's tried to get away. He's living with Deborah. Then, unfortunately, when they come back to the house after that first little hunting trip, Deborah's on the ceiling getting roasted.
Deborah!
But anyway, that's Everybody Loves Sam Winchester.
Sam definitely is he's the Ray, isn't he?
If you just got to switch the heights.
Yes. I was thinking that.
I googled that before because I was like, is Jensen Ackles really short? But apparently he's 6'1".
No, he's a regular size guy. Just Jared Padalecki's he's like 6'6". He's quite tall.
Mm.
That'd be really annoying if you were Jensen Ackles. People think you're like 5'5", some sort of Tom Cruise type.
Or in reality, you're just a regular dude.
I guarantee every single time he meets a fan in public, they're like, way taller than I thought you'd be.
Yeah.
This is a problem for Brad Garrett as well. He's only like 6 foot, but Ray Romano's like 5'1".
Yeah. I thought you were a giant, Brad Garrett.
I thought you were 6'9".
They sort of build the sets sort of down like it's... Yeah.
He's not even 6 foot, he's like 5'8".
Yeah. I'm a short man.
And you meet him, you're like, wait, if you're 5'8", oh my God, what is... Very reminded of us.
People size.
I've got one. It's a bit of a reality show, and it is... the name of the show will be Act Supernatural. And it's... You take people and you get them like really drunk or fucked up on whatever, and then you put them into everyday situations, and it's like, all right, just act natural, act supernatural, and they've got to try and navigate an everyday situation. You know, like, it's so it's like it's kind of like a Mike Whitney, Tanya Zayeta type Who Dares Wins, where you know how they would pluck people from their office and like take them on to do a dare. They're like, someone will be on their way to work, and they're like, Sam and Dean will come out and be like, all right, Steve, you're on your way to work. Here, drink this bottle of Jack Daniels and then go into the office and just act supernatural. And that's it.
Just like act you normally supernatural. Would. Act there, supernatural. I like that.
There better be a fucking good prize for that, because that would be a literal nightmare to be on.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like here's three tabs of acid.
Yeah.
Go to the doctors.
If no one notices, we'll give you $50.
Good luck. Yeah.
$50. I'm gonna reboot this. And what I actually want to explore is Sam's life once Dean is dead. It was like, I reckon his... Because at the start of the first episode, he is preparing to be a lawyer. But I reckon his days are gone. He missed the boat, exactly. And I don't think he has it all up there anymore. You know, I think he's probably taken a few too many hits to the head.
He's seen a few too many beheadings.
He's exactly. Committed a few.
Died a few too many times.
Mm. Yep. So
the hairspray's seeping into his brain.
So he'd be a perfect first contestant on Act Supernatural.
Finally,
you're off the road. Go into an office setting and just be cool.
Just try not to behead someone.
So, I reckon he is going to. You know, they've collected all these weird things all over the years. I reckon that he could probably start up his own traveling museum.
Oh.
I think he's gonna get like a little truck, and then like people kind of, you know, you walk into it and you look at all the spooky shit.
Oh, like one of those libraries on wheels kind of thing.
Exactly like that, except it's a museum, and it's called the Supernatural History Museum. And he just takes like $2 from you, and you know, your kid goes in, and they're like, "Oh, look, you know, here's a." You know, some crosses that were used to defeat some werewolves or something like that. I'm not really very good at this supernatural stuff, but I'm sure it's got some good shit in there that you can see.
Crosses and werewolves. One alteration I might make is to the price of admission is perhaps a photocopy of 100 points of identity of everyone that goes in the mobile library, so that you can use their identity to get a credit card.
He's got to pay for gas somehow.
Yeah. Just give me a photocopy of your passport and
got to keep the lights on.
Two recent bills.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe he doesn't have to pay for gas and he's just got one of the railway things pumping that round.
The driver's...
He's just got a couple of carriages pulling it behind him.
No. It's a regular bus, but then you go into the cockpit or the driver's area of the bus and it's just one of those.
Is he driving? Is he pushing it up and down while he's trying to drive at the same time? So he's steering. And
is he at the front, pretending to like drive a big wheel? But then there's just like a couple of dudes underneath him, just pumping it.
Oh, like Snowpiercer kind of thing.
Yeah.
I have one. It's pretty half baked. It's not great, but I'm just going to roll with it anyway. So my one is it's based on the theory that all evil did go disappear at the end of the second last episode of Supernatural. So it's a continuation from there, but now that evil's not evil and isn't able to kill anymore, even though it was in that last episode, but let's just ignore that for a moment, we deal with our problems, the supernatural problems, differently. Rather than hunting them, we invite them in to talk about it. So my reboot is now, it is a Dr. Phil style show where demons and monsters and ghosts and urban legends come in to talk to Dr. Winchester about their problems. and we try and work through them as a team. And sometimes there might be problem demons. We send them to boot camp, try and straighten them out.
Is that what happens with Dr. Phil?
Yeah, he sends a lot of people to boot camp. It's a military conscription service. Dressed up as a doctor.
I thought so. Corporal right, Phil.
Good. Okay. So Dr. Phil.
That could probably tie in with Scott's. Like, that could be what Sam does.
That's what Sam gets into. That's what Sam gets into. Yeah, he hosts a daytime doctor's talk show about trying to help demons reintegrate into society as good citizens.
So does he wear those inner demons? Ways. Does he wear a suit like Dr. Phil, or is he in scrubs like Dr. Oz?
He wears a suit. You prefer scrubs?
Yeah.
Scrubs with a tie.
He goes
with a suit, but there's different. It's kind of like Dr. Oz, where he's wearing a suit, but there'll be other segments where we got a Dr. Singer, and he's more of a surgical type. He's wearing scrubs, so he'll like surgically remove the horns for you.
Yeah,
change
right.
up, get those. Get oh, them, so
it's,
get those
it's kind of like Queer Eye as well.
it's now it's evolving. Queer Eye for the possessed guy. But that's my reboot. Yeah, Dr. Winchester, which is just essentially Dr. Phil style redemption show for the evil in the world that's now inert in that universe. Shall we move ahead to the very special IMDb list?
Yes, let's. It's extra special this week because I've got a little bonus honorable mention. So I wanted to throw this one in on top. The list's name is Hot Little Tater Tots. And it's a list of 66 very handsome men.
Oh.
Including our brothers, Jensen Ackles and Jared Padalecki.
Not 66 of their favourite tater tots?
No, unfortunately. It's human tater tots. Human tots.
Human tots. Human tots would be children or small children. So
yeah, I guess so.
It's young Dean in the overalls.
yeah, absolutely.
This doesn't sound a million miles away from actors you want to lick like ice cream.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Yum, yum. Mm. No, the actual list this week, the full list, is possible replacements for Wolverine after Hugh Jackman.
Mm.
Oh. Now, how many people do you reckon is a reasonable short list for something like this?
160.
25, 30.
How many replacements are you going to need?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Maybe like 10 or 11?
Well, we got 65.
I said 160, so...
Yeah. Scott's still closer. We got options. So, did you say Jensen Ackles?
Yeah.
Because he's not on here. Neither is Jared Padalecki. But Jeffrey Dean Morgan is on here.
I guess Wolverine's getting on.
Was Javier Bardem on there?
He is, actually.
Okay, that's fair.
Okay, well, that's good. You can't have one without the other.
And look, they've gone for some big names. I mean, they've got Hugh Jackman on here himself. So he's number 11. He could be coming back.
He's number 11.
Why?
Yeah, if Russell Crowe and Daniel Radcliffe don't work out, Hugh Jackman's coming back.
Daniel Radcliffe?
Hugh Jackman's the 11th choice to reprise his own role.
Yeah, he'll come back to audition just in a moustache and glasses. My two favourite options on here, I don't know if you guys think they've aged out or not, but Liam Neeson, do you reckon he's still
got it? Yeah, he's aged out of it.
Geriatric.
He's also not like
Wolverine.
He's an action star, but he's not like
conventional.
Wolverine's big and jacked. Like
yeah,
Liam.
You're not
going to
get
Neeson.
Liam Neeson jacked.
How's he going to do with the shirtless scenes? You know,
no way.
Yeah,
it's a bit pudgy. Yeah,
there's a reason he's wearing heavy jackets in all of his
later works.
So, all right, if Liam Neeson's aged out, what do you think about Jack Nicholson?
What the
oh,
fuck?
He's prime. Total prime.
Yeah, all he's right. good for it.
Cool. Yeah. All right, Jack.
What
Jack's
are they even
in
thinking?
Next Wolverine.
They've got to be taking the piss.
No, man.
Some of these lists are insane. Are we talking about young Jack Nicholson?
I reckon it's just Jack now. He's like right next to Jake Gyllenhaal and Jason Momoa, Mark Wahlberg. And then Jack Nicholson.
All those guys have one thing in common. They can get jacked. Jack Nicholson's name is Jack. But it doesn't mean he can get jacked.
Mark Wahlberg as Wolverine would be very strange.
And he's also 84 years old.
Yeah.
Mark Wahlberg is Mark Wahlberg in every single movie.
Mark Wahlberg is anything, like, relatively...
Because he's just playing Mark Wahlberg.
Exactly.
Oh, no, I was wrong. Jensen Ackles is on here. He's number 58. Oh,
you were wrong.
Pedlecki. Oh, okay, wait, no. Pedlecki.
He's just 36 slots behind Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, I mean, like, it wouldn't make any sense for a guy that's probably the appropriate age, height, and physique.
Yeah, but he's not as accomplished actor as Nicholson, though, so that's what you're forgetting. It's more about Matt Nicholson's body of work that makes him such a good choice.
Mm. A lot of facets to Wolverine.
They're covering off a lot of bases
first saw about Schmidt, and I was like, damn, that's...
that's the next Wolverine right there. Kathy Bates was in that. Maybe she played played Sabretooth instead of Liev Schreiber.
You ever seen
she's got range.
Nicholson courtside at a Lakers game just shoot the claws out and like spear it, give it a little sip.
Must have
or the
that.
Ball, like a loose ball's coming into his area and he just
yeah.
Now we'll start. I think we'll probably start wrapping up. I have one question for you guys and see if you can get the right answer. Who was paid more per episode, Jared Padalecki or Jensen Ackles?
This is a great question.
My gut instinct is Ackles.
I'm going Jared.
Yep. Scott?
I think Padalecki, because I reckon Jensen did a deal with something about the car. He was like, I get to drive. So
you get to per diem for fuel. He's good.
Yeah, exactly.
And he gets all the warm souls he can
drink.
He
gets to drive the car home, that's it.
That's his rider in the green room, wrapped in bubble wrap.
Who's amongst?
I'm going Padalecki.
Okay, so it was Ackles. You were right, Jez. Surprisingly, so Ackles, 175K per episode. And Padalecki 125K per episode.
Over 15 years.
327 episodes.
That's like the ad for superannuation and like.
Oh yeah. So,
yeah. You know? Fucking Padalecki just got absolutely.
Yeah, he got dicked. To be fair, I did notice, and I might need to go back and double check to verify this, but Padalecki's name came up first in the credits. And Ackles was second in the credits.
Would you take that for 50 grand an episode?
That's I reckon Padalecki.
An episode?
They offered it to him. They offered it to him and he took the pay cut for the title card.
So did you say 175 grand an episode?
An episode?
175K is what I...
That's 57 million.
Whether or not that was the entire run, I'm sure it was
maybe the peak. Yeah, I'm sure the latter episode would have been less. But
yeah, and I'm assuming the start would have been lower as well.
He's racking up 8 digits, easy.
I kind of see it like in Entourage. Who's the main character in Entourage? The handsome guy.
That bad actor.
Adrian.
He's a bad actor. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's a bad actor and he's like kind of the looks and the show revolves around him. But there's no way he's getting paid the most because he's doing the least work. And it's the same with Jared Padalecki. He's the looks, I guess, for some people, but he's also pretty wooden.
Well, so from what I understand, so Ackles actually, he auditioned for Padalecki for Sam first and they actually liked him better for Dean, so then he got cast as Dean. Looking at their IMDb's, they both were like, when they both the show started, neither of them had like huge like they were doing stuff. Like I think Padalecki was in Gilmore Girls, Ackles had been Angel and Smallville, like he had like sort of recurring roles in those.
Mm.
But they weren't like big title card names, so obviously so I'd say that they built to that. But I don't know. I guess the thing is, how good a job would this be? They'd be working like 2 months a year.
Yeah.
Mm. Guaranteed paycheck, making a couple of million per year, 20 episodes, boom, 15 years. Oh,
incredible.
Man.
But they also probably don't get to do anything else.
I think you would, though, because I reckon they'd be filming for 2 months.
Are they good enough to do anything else?
No. I mean, like acting-wise, you don't get to do anything else because they're so entrenched in these characters. It's like being on Days of Our Lives.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's going to hire you.
Like,
it's
hard to get it.
Yeah, I'm with you, Scott.
They might get on an ad or something.
I think the only way you could, you'd need to just be, you're basically now just guest starring in lots of stuff. So it depends on whether or not you want to try and build back in. But I think if you're at that stage and you've made all your money, you kind of just sort of, like Ackles is doing Batman voices for the cartoons.
I was about to say, which of the two do you think we're more likely to see first?
I know that Padalecki's got a new show.
Mm.
It's like a cop show, and he's the main. Mm. And it, pure nepotism. His wife is in it.
Okay.
I think Ackles is better than
I think
than
so as well.
Padalecki. But he is also very, very limited.
If Mark Wahlberg is limited, then he's like a shadow of Mark Wahlberg. So.
No, the new his new show is a reboot of Walker, Texas Ranger.
Oh, that's right.
What? Yeah, is he Walker, Texas Ranger?
Yeah. Padalecki. Tell you what, so I'd love to see next to Chuck Norris.
I guess. That's not going far, is it? We're gonna be doing that in like a year.
That's a 2-season run right there. But yeah, let's actually probably start wrapping up now. But Supernatural, I've seen probably the best of it, so I might go back and rewatch the first couple of seasons of this because I know it's fun, I know it's good. I haven't watched it in a few years, so I might give it a go. You guys?
Yeah, I'm genuinely keen to watch a few episodes. It's good fun. Often when you want like a fun sort of monster movie type thing, they're very hit and miss, and I'm happy to just set aside 40 minutes to something I know is going to be pretty decent rather than rolling the dice on whatever 90-minute, 120-minute horror that's probably going to be trash.
Bit of snappy dialogue, little bit of violence, you know, they're driving a cool car,
a few beheadings,
some old school rock music, a few beheadings. Hey, what more do you want? I'm a simple man, I like simple things. Scott, you just were shaking your head the whole time we were saying that.
No, I don't think I have the nostalgia value in this particular one. I really don't think I saw that much of it. I think I maybe saw the first season and that was it. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not really a huge fan of the Monster of the Week sort of format, and I don't know. Neither of those guys really brings much to me personally.
You're enough of a monster in your own right, Scott.
It's true. It's hard enough battling my own inner demons, let alone watching them on TV.
You think you're better than us? I get it.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, that's all right through that.
Can I say something to close this on? Something I forgot to mention in the first episode was that there was a line that the woman in white said that was like, when she was trying to seduce the guy in the car, she was like, "Hold me, I'm so cold," or something.
"Hold me, I'm so cold."
And when she said that, it triggered a memory in me that one of our good friends, Callum, I remember him saying that vividly to me in that same voice, in that really creepy, weird thing, like he's a sexy woman.
He was a woman
in a seducing white dress.
Did you give in to temptation? Because he could have killed you if you did.
Obviously, I did, Jez. You seen the man?
Yeah, he's beautiful.
He's an Adonis.
He's going to love this.
Really cut deep. That's the nostalgia value you're missing out on, Scott.
Cal, I hope you've listened to the end.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, that is a good way to close this out. So, as always, please jump on our socials, flick us a suggestion, jump on your preferred podcasting platform, rate, review, helps us get out there. We've got a TikTok now. You can jump on that.
You can jump onto our TikTok account.
Having some sweet videos.
Incomplete Series Pod. There's some visual representations of our lists. So if you ever wanted to see what the IMDb website list section looks like,
we got some 18 second videos.
We're putting in the work.
Exactly.
We're putting in the work.
We are. And yes, or otherwise, please just jump on our website, flick us a suggestion. There's always good ones coming. Anyway, thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jez.
Thank you, Morgs.
And thank you, Aaron.
Thanks, Morgs.